Beautiful song. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. This morning, the scripture reading is from John chapter 21, verse 15 through 19. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus says to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and go to wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much. We are now standing before your presence. We want to hear your voice. Please, Lord, help us to listen to your word. Help us to obey your word. We pray all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Today, I'd like to invite you to think about one of the characteristics of our God and God's mercy. One of the systematic theologians defined God's mercy as this: God's goodness toward those in misery and distress. And because of God's goodness and mercy, God gives us a second chance, sometimes third chance, and another chance to rebuild and reorient our lives to the will of God. It reminds us of God's promise in Psalm 23, verse 6. "Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." God wants to give us another chance to confirm his love and to share his mercy with others. In the Bible, it is not difficult to find those who receive the mercy of God. Abraham, he could have lost his wife to the Pharaoh of Egypt, and also to the king of Abimelech of Gerar. To save his own life, he lied to the people in Egypt and also the Gerar that Sarah was his sister. But God afflicted Pharaoh and his house with a great plague, and also God came to Abimelech in a dream to warn him not to take Sarah because she was a married woman. The book of Jonah starts with this Bible verse. "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, 'Go at once to Nineveh, the great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me.'" But Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He tried to flee to Tarshish from the presence of God. Finally, Jonah was thrown to the sea to appease the storm as a sacrifice. But God provided a big fish to swallow up Jonah. Jonah was in the belly of that big fish for 3 days and three nights, and he prayed there. Jonah chapter 2. He prayed of a thanksgiving prayer to God. God spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto the dry land. And then we encounter this special message to Jonah in Jonah chapter 3. "The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time." saying, "Get up, go to Nineveh, the great city, and proclaim it to the message that I tell you." Our God is God of another chance. Finally, he obeyed the word of God and went to Nineveh. What about Apostle Paul? He was in the same position, same situation. He met Jesus Christ on his way to Damascus. His trip was to bring those who belonged to the way bound to Jerusalem. When he was approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" He asked, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you'll be told what you are to do." It is Apostle Paul's conversion story from Acts 9. And he repeatedly tells his story of conversion as a story of mercy and second chance of God to the people in Acts 22, Acts 29, and also in Galatians chapter 1. Why do you think God gives us his second chance to his people? Because of God's vision for his kingdom. God loves us, and also God loves the people in the world. He wants to save the lost souls in the world. Our life is a part of God's kingdom vision, God's kingdom story, and God's kingdom purpose. God wants to write his kingdom story through us. That is why all the stories of God's another chance in the Bible are always related with the recommissioning of God's people for his kingdom work. Abraham and Sarah should be the father and mother of the nations. Our Savior Jesus Christ should be born in the line of Abraham. God loved the world, loved the people in Nineveh. He wanted to save them. God wanted to use Paul as the apostle for the Gentiles. That is the reason God gives us another chance of our lives. We are part of God's kingdom story. We find another person today who experienced the mercy of God and is recommissioned for the kingdom work. It is Peter. Peter betrayed Jesus 3 times. And he denied his relationship with him 3 times. How many times have you ever betrayed him and denied him in your life? Peter's story is not just his story. It is our story. After first service today, one of our church members came to me and he said, "Hey, Pastor, I think Peter was not smart. That is why Jesus told him 3 times that question." And I just told him that is our story. We are not that smart. All the Gospels record Peter's betrayal story. But only in the Gospel of John, Peter's second chance story is recorded. In John 18, a woman in the courtyard of the high priest and also the people who were standing around the fire, they asked Peter, "You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you?" He replied, "I am not." Peter denied his relationship with Jesus repeatedly. According to the Gospel of John, after the resurrection, Jesus showed himself to Mary Magdalene, to his disciples, and to Thomas. Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. The Sea of Tiberias is another name of the Sea of Galilee. There were 7 of Jesus' disciples, including Peter, who went fishing at the time, but their efforts were futile. They caught nothing throughout the night. Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was Jesus. He said to them, "Cast your net on the right side of your boat, So they did. And there were so many fish that they couldn't haul the net into the boat. When Peter met Jesus Christ for the first time in his life, he experienced the same miracle while with his brother Andrew and also John and James. At the time, they were told that from now on, you'll be fishing for people. It reminds them of their first calling to bringing the people into the community. In whatever the situations they were in, they were not supposed to forget their calling. Before reinstating Peter in his apostleship and leadership, Jesus wants his disciples to be restored to their original calling. If we need another chance of mercy from God, it means it is time for us to renew our calling from God. Now Jesus is dealing with Peter. Jesus takes the initiative to be with his disciples and to restore Peter's leadership. Jesus came to the Sea of Tiberias to his disciples. He instructed them how to fish. He set the fire for breakfast, and he took the bread and fish and gave them to his disciples. Even though we are not perfect, and sometimes we are wavering in our relationship with Jesus Christ, he is still taking care of us. He is still holding our lives. He comes to us to speak with us. He feeds us and instructs us how to live a life. He wants to start a new life with us. If we really seriously look into our lives, I'm sure there is God's gesture of his mercy to renew our relationship with him. God still wants to speak to us and speak with us to have a new life, to recall our calling from him. That is why we need God's mercy. That is why we need our one-on-one time with our Lord Jesus Christ. The story also reminds us of God's feeding of Elijah when he sought to die after the long trip to avoid Jezebel's threat of murder. He was sleeping on the broom tree, and God's angel woke him up and fed him twice. He regained strength and was able to finish his trip to Horeb, the Mount of God, where he received God's special assignment. Through those assignments, his calling as prophet was reaffirmed. I strongly believe God's mercy is not just given for our restoration, but it is given for our calling. The calling to share God's goodness and mercy with others. I do believe we are in that kind of season right now, remembering the mercy of God in our life. We need to renew our calling from God, especially at this season. After eating breakfast together with his disciples, Jesus had a meeting, special meeting with Peter. Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? In the Gospels, Jesus addressed Peter this way on only the most important occasions, such as Peter's call to follow Jesus, his confession of Jesus as the Son of God, and as he slept in Gethsemane. Whenever my son has a problem with me, I call his full name. Abraham, Yom, you better be here with me. This is that kind of situation. When Jesus addressed Peter this way here, Peter probably realized that what Jesus was about to say to him was extremely important. Indeed, the message from Jesus was about Peter's love for Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't ask Peter, Why did you betray me? I was so frustrated. Don't you have anything to say to me? Why didn't you come to me when I was with the disciples on those nights? I know you were there, but you avoided me. Jesus Christ didn't say that. Instead, he asked, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Different Greek verbs for love are used in these questions and responses, agapao and phileo. Some find this significant, arguing that agapao conveys unconditional love, while phileo is a less brotherly or sisterly love. The first two times that Jesus asked Simon, son of John, do you agapao me? And both times, Peter responds with phileo. The third time, Jesus asks the question using phileo, and Peter responds again using the same verb. Some would argue that Peter does not understand what Jesus is asking, and thus Jesus accommodates Peter the third time around. Also, one could argue that by employing both verbs, Jesus is asking Peter if he loves him fully in every possible way. However, in the Gospel of John, agapao and phileo are used interchangeably as synonyms. Even in our text today, the words feeding and tending, and as those words sheep and lambs, they are used interchangeably. And why is Jesus' love question crucial when we need the renewal and restoration of our life and relationship? It is crucial because people can be changed and renewed and restored and reinstated only with the love of God. In the question from Jesus to Peter, do you love me? It includes Jesus' confirmation of his love for Peter. Jesus could have asked, I love you, Peter. You know that. Do you love me? But Jesus didn't need to say that. He didn't criticize Peter for his betrayers. If someone loves us, we can sense that love, right? We know that, yes, he or she is loving me. We can sense that. It is that kind of situation. In Jesus' question, do you love me? Peter could sense that Jesus Christ is loving him, even though he made mistakes. That is why this love question from Jesus Christ is really, really crucial for Peter's renewal. That is why continually we are to listen to this kind of confession from our Lord, from our God, that he loves us. Because that has the power that we can be renewed and we can be healed. And we can go out to serve other people. We need continual confirmation of our God's love for us. As you know, at the heart of a church's mission is a love. Love is a motivation for our mission. Acts 1:8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. The power we have from the Holy Spirit is the power of love. That is why before we go out to the world, we need to have that power, the power of the Holy Spirit, the love of the Holy Spirit. When I was in the seminary, I was so confused about different kind of activities of the Holy Spirit. So I asked my professor, that, hey professor, can you just define the role of the Holy Spirit just in one sentence? And he said that the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. It was my aha moment. Yes, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of love. So wherever we are with the Holy Spirit, there is always healing and renewal and restoration, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of love. What about Christian leadership? I do believe the Christian leadership is all about sacrificial love. If our followers, they sense our sacrificial love, then they will even give their lives to us. Proverbs 20:28 says, "Love and faithful keep a king safe. Through love, his throne is made secure." John Stott once says, "The authority by which the Christian leader lives is not power, but love. Not force, but example. Not coercion, but reasoned persuasion. Leaders have power, but power is safe only in the hands of those who humble themselves to serve." If our children realize their parents' sacrificial love, they will voluntarily obey their parents, and they start to love others as they receive the love from their parents. Also, when God gives us different kinds of spiritual gifts to build up His church, the motivation and fruit of our spiritual gift should be love. Especially as we serve the church with our spiritual gift, we need to continually check with ourselves if we are bearing the fruit of love continually. And also your ministry. To check out if the people in your ministry are bearing the fruit of love as they use their spiritual gifts. I believe that is the big difference between work and ministry. Why is Jesus' love question so crucial? We all know about the greatest commandment in Matthew 22. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." It is also called the double commandment of love. But in the latter part of the New Testament, the double commandment of love becomes the single commandment. It is love your neighbor or love one another. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." Also, Jesus says in John 14:23, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." If we love our Lord Jesus Christ, we obey His word. Then we can enjoy the intimate relationship with our God and also with our Lord Jesus Christ. Why we don't feel the intimate relationship with our God? Because there are some areas in our lives that we do not obey the word of God. And then, this new and fresh challenge is given to Peter. "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." We are not to forget that the lambs and sheep are not ours. It is our Lord's. We are His servant. It is another chance to help us realize who the Lord is and who we are in our ministry. Jesus' lambs and sheep are entrusted to forgiven sinners. As a way of expressing gratitude for the gift of mercy and a way of living new, resurrected life, we have received the calling to feed Jesus' lambs and His sheep. N.T. Wright says, "Here is the secret of all Christian ministry, yours and mine, lay and ordained, full-time or part-time. It's the secret of everything, from being a quiet, back-row member of a prayer group to being a platform speaker at huge rallies and conferences. If you are going to do any single solitary thing as a follower and servant of Jesus, this is what it's built on. Somewhere deep down inside, there is a love for Jesus. And though goodness knows you will let him down enough times, he wants to find that love to give you a chance to express it, to heal the hurts and failures of the past and give you new work to do. So, do you love me? Is the qualifying question for missions and ministries of the church as we think about God's mercy at this season. As commentator Mark Allen Powell mentions, Jesus doesn't just want his sheep to be fed. He wants his sheep to be fed by someone who loves him. At this time of the year, let us give thanks to God who is giving us another chance and mercy. Let me ask you this question. Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you love Jesus Christ? Do you really love Jesus Christ? If you can say yes, what shall we do? If we are forgiven and receive another chance, we also need to forgive others and give them another chance. The reason we do not forgive others is because we do not have the conviction of our forgiveness from God. The reason we forgive others is because we have that mercy of another chance in us through Jesus Christ. Let us proclaim that our God is a God of mercy and second chance. Let us forgive and give another chance to those who need our mercy as we are forgiven. Now I know we are getting together with our family members and relatives. Nowadays, a lot of people really, really suffer in their relationship with their family members and also with their relatives. We are forgiven. We are given another chance by God, which means we have a mission. We have to forgive others. We are so much busy, too much busy nowadays, preparing Christmas cards and Christmas gifts. But let's not lose the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love him. That is why we celebrate his birthday. We know we are forgiven. We know he wants us to forgive those who have hurt our feelings in our family. So, let's have a time to pray to God, to give us courage and power to forgive those who need our mercy. Can you do that? Yes, we can do that because we already got that love to us from our Lord. Let us pray together. Dear God, we thank you so much for your mercy and giving us another chance of renewal in our lives. You speak to us loudly that you want to rebuild your relationship with us. You also speak to us clearly that we can forgive those who need our forgiveness. Lord, help us forgive as you have forgiven us. Help us to share your mercy with those you call us to love. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I invite you to stand as you are able, and we'll join in our closing song together, Hark the Herald Angels Sing.